Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Actually, A.J.'s still sitting over there, but it's Lance Zierlein in morning show. And then I just wait around a little bit, watch some prospects, and then and I said, yeah, let's do a little radio today. So I called up, I texted a buddy from the NFL Network, Bucky
Name
Brooks.
Name drop.
I mean, it is true. Bucky and I have spent a lot of time together, about 9 straight hours looking at rounds 4 through 7 every year.
Yeah, but does he call you a buddy when he talks about you?
I hope.
Or does he call you my coworker?
Now, Bucky has warmed up to me over the last few years. Bucky and I have a lot more in common, you know, but we got the Houston rap scene. Bucky respects the Houston rap scene. I feel like you do, Buck. I feel like you respect the Houston rap scene.
I'm all about the Houston rap scene. I'm down.
And then you're also
Bun B,
Bun will host on the show here from time to time, as a matter of fact. I also know that you're a big basketball fan. And you respected the job the Rockets did and what Chris Paul brought to the table this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Paul is from close to where I'm from, my hometown in Raleigh. He's about an hour and a half away. So I can respect what CP3 did.
Did you like the 4-year contract that the Rockets gave him?
I mean, I like it. It's not coming out of my pocket. I would like to be on the receiving end. I mean, I'm all about it. I mean, if someone's going to max me out, like, I want a little. I'm down H-Town. Give me a little bit.
Yeah, so it's funny you say that because I saw a tweet you had today, and AJ and I were talking about this, and I said, you know, we should get Bucky on because you had a tweet about Julio Jones, and your tweet was basically saying, well, the Falcons found all this money for Matt Ryan, and no doubt it's important because he's a quarterback, but what about the guy who makes all the plays, the top playmaker in Julio Jones? Why not take care of him? And you brought that up. And then AJ brought up, and I'll let you speak for yourself, AJ, you brought up the counterpoint to that, though.
Yeah, I think the counterpoint is that the Falcons have never extended anybody who had more than 1 year left on their contract, and Julio Jones still has 3 years left. And that's to me, that's a massive Pandora's box to open. And I understand Julio Jones is, I think, besides a quarterback, he's the most important offensive player in the league, maybe besides Gronk. Like to what his team
to one
does,
guy, yeah, one team,
and I understand why. If Julio Jones asks for more money, the first instinct is give him more money because he's the most important. But 3 years left on a deal that isn't like a really bad deal, it just seems odd to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think here's how you have to kind of evaluate it. Or whatever, like he's 29 years old. He is obviously, I think, in other locker rooms, in their locker room, he's their best player. We can say what we want to about Matt Ryan being the league MVP. I would contend that the year that Matt Ryan won the MVP, Julio Jones really should have been the MVP on that team. He makes Matt Ryan a much better player. And I don't think the Atlanta Falcons are the same team without Julio Jones. That being said, here's the trick if I'm the Atlanta Falcons. I can either pay him now or I can pay him later. I'm looking at Brandon Cooks get $16 million. I'm looking at Sammy Watkins get $16 million. I saw Jarvis Landry get $16 million. The longer you wait on Julio Jones, the more expensive it is. And if you're okay paying a guy $20 million to catch passes, cool. But it ain't going down. It's only going up because his production over the last 4 or 5 years warrants that he's one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the game. If I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I want to make sure that I keep my best player happy, because I would hate for him to get the Kawhi flu.
I mean that is an option, but typically
Kawhi flu.
Without guaranteed money, typically, you know, players don't do that right. in the NFL. But the other side of that is 3 years from now, when his contract's up, he'll be 32 years old, and 32-year-old wide receivers, even really accomplished 32-year-old wide receivers, aren't going to demand the money that he was able to demand when he was 26,
well,
27.
But then it becomes about making him, because what you could do is extend it, and you could say this contract's going to lock you down until you're about 34, in essence, 33, 34, and you could just say this will make the guy happier, and it shows your locker room you'll take care of the very best player. I mean, that's the flip side to what you're saying, AJ, is you can say, yeah, we can wait till he's 30. He's going to be unhappy until he's 32, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. The biggest issue is I don't know how they front-loaded the last deal. At the end of the day, what happens now, The dude is bringing home $10 million. So what has happened, and look, I understand it, like, and I understand, like, people are like, man, players are always going back to the table, this and that. But I think he's in his feelings right now because he's looking over across the locker room, and he's like, Matt Ryan is a $30 million quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
$30 million. Matt Ryan knows, and I know, I make Matt Ryan really the player that he is. And so when he's doing that, and then he's looking at the landscape, and then it comes across the ticker in the lunchroom that Brandon Cooks just got $16 million, Julio Jones is like, come on now. At some point, y'all got to make it right. And so I've seen the reports where the Falcons are talking about, hey, just hang with us until after the 2018 season. We'll do the deal at that point. And maybe that is true. But I think the one thing that Julio Jones wanted to have the world know, I'm not happy with my salary. And I want you to know that I'm not happy. So at some point we need to address it, whether it's now or later. It has to come right.
Bucky, what do you think about Le'Veon Bell then? Because, you know, you're a former player, and you also worked on the team side as an NFL scout. So how do you deal with the team? Like, you got the Steelers who have the Steeler way. You have Le'Veon Bell that's a tremendously talented running back, obviously. How do you view that from your lens? And I don't care what lens you use, the former player, the guy who worked as a scout, the guy who works on the network now. How do you – are you paying running backs that much? Are you, if you're the Steelers, you say, this is what we do. We can go find a running back. We're not worried about that. How do you work through that?
You know, so I've seen it a couple of different ways, and I'm really, really impacted by those experiences. So coming right into the league, I jump on the Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, three Hall of Fame players. Offense is the best in the league. They go to 4 straight Super Bowls. I'm like, man, you need to take care of your best players. Your best players will always kind of get you to the winner's circle. Fast forward to when I worked for the Carolina Panthers, we were a team that really valued running backs probably more than any other team in the league. We had Steven Davis. We had Deshaun Foster, paid Foster. Then we go get D'Angelo Williams, paid him. Go and get Jonathan Stewart, paid him. So I think the thing that you have to do is you got to be able to separate the player from the position, particularly when it's a guy like Le'Veon Bell. We can look at the Pittsburgh Steelers offense and we say, you know what, we can just get any old body to do what Le'Veon Bell did. Cool. A couple years ago, D'Angelo Williams stepped in, had 900 yards. People said, see, he just did that. But those 900 yards that D'Angelo Williams got, Le'Veon Bell may get 14 or 1,500. He is that special. And the reason that I think you have to kind of ignore the fluff money that's been floated out, 5 years, $70 million. That's really not really what they were hoping for. Le'Veon Bell was playing on a 14.5. He's going to play on a $14.5 million franchise tag. The Pittsburgh Steelers offered him $10 million guaranteed. I'm not a mathematician, but I'm not taking less money to go and do the same job that I was going to do for more money previously. All they needed to do was guarantee the next year, which would be, if you put on the franchise tag or the transition tag, whatever, you're looking at anywhere from $17 to $20 million. The reason they said that all they wanted were like 2 years, $30 to $34 million guaranteed is because that's what it's going to cost the Pittsburgh Steelers to do the deal anyway. I don't know if he'll be back in Pittsburgh next year, but someone's going to end up giving them about $19 to $20 million guaranteed, which would make him whole based on the way that he's played on the last two tags.
Man, when you look at what Arian Foster got when he was in his prime, when you look at what Chris Johnson got, Adrian Peterson got, I mean, it looks like the running back's starting to make a jump back up the charts financially.
Oh, it's going to happen. And Lance, it's going to blow people away. But word on the street is there's going to be a running back that signs a deal in about 2 to 3 weeks that is going to be like, oh, Le'Veon Bell wasn't so crazy.
Oh,
maybe
right?
They are paying these elite offensive weapons this kind of money. Todd Gurley, David Johnson, both of those guys are up.
Ooh.
At some point, when you have a guy that kind of drives the bus, when you know that your running back is the player that really carries the offense, people are going to value that, and they're going to find a way to get the number up. I think the problem with people looking at the running back position as, oh, we can get any old guy, is because the rookie salary cap has changed the way the guaranteed money is going. And so when you got Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon Barkley and all these guys getting $20 million, $24 million, $25 million, it kind of upsets the apple cart. I think at some point we're going to see a correction, and the guys that are going to get, like, the top money are going to be the guys that not only can run it but can catch it, because when you can catch the ball out the backfield, it may allow you to age gracefully at the position, as opposed to an Adrian Peterson, who was an old-school hammerhead running back that was a little more one-dimensional in his play.
I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting with both those situations of what you do with them. And I'm a believer in running backs as in general are not as valuable as, you know, receivers and things like that, because their shelf lives just seem to be shorter. And while Le'Veon Bell is really good, one of the best in the league, is he the best in the league? Can you make that argument? I don't know.
How do you impact winning?
I think so. Last year he ran for four
yards per carry. Alvin Kamara had 6.1. And he's a rookie.
Asked to do two totally different things.
He's a rookie.
Yeah, okay. No, I get that.
No. That's cool, because yards per carry is one way to do it. But how about this? How about I tell you that he has the highest scrimmage yards per game average of anybody in NFL history? Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, Billy Sims, they all are behind him. So from the time he has been in the league, he has been the best player at the position in terms of yards from scrimmage yards. And so then people are like, oh, well, his yards per carry has gone down. Okay, cool, it has. But let's look at last year he had 85 receptions. They are feeding him like there's no tomorrow. So if he is a player that we're seeing is declining, we can say that. But I still believe when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, the guy that you're most worried about on that team is 26. It's not 84. It's not number 7. It's 26, because 26 does so much that you have to account for. And if you don't, he will wear you out. And then I've heard you talk about, like, well, we can just go get another running back. How many running backs are really doing it on a high level? If you're okay going from an A-level running back to a handful of Bs, that's cool. But typically what happens, the teams that are winning with backs by committee, they have A-level quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You can't have a B-level quarterback and a bunch of Cs at running back and win games in the National Football League. So of all the teams that don't have those A-level guys, and we'll say there are only a handful of A-level quarterbacks, you better invest in a top-notch running back when you have one. Otherwise, your offense is going to be stagnant, and it's not going to be good enough to win a championship.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Here's where I feel like the Steelers may have a bit of an edge is they do have a solid quarterback, although he might have a down arrow by him too. They've got arguably the best receiver in the league playing for their team. And they've already proven that they can find running backs that turn out to be really great in the second round, just like they found Le'Veon Bell in the second round.
Who's been that running back? Le'Veon Bell, but who else?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
There hasn't been another one outside of Bell. Who outside of Bell?
Well, I don't know, but the Steelers have to feel like, well, we found this guy in the second round. Why can't we find another guy in the second round?
Was Bell second?
Okay, well, yeah.
That doesn't always fly. I mean, like, we've seen, okay, so Bill O'Brien was a great quarterback guru. How long did it take them to find a quarterback?
I think that myth that Bill O'Brien is a great quarterback guru is garbage. I mean, he coached right. one guy in college that he did well with who ended up not being good.
Saying it is a lot harder to find guys to do some of those chores and responsibilities that we're talking about. And so, look, I'm not one saying, like, hey, we need to make everything about the running back. We're going back to 1980. But what I am saying, there are a handful of running backs that have special qualities in terms of they have size, they have outstanding running skills, and they have outstanding pass-catching ability that allows them to transcend the one-dimensional running backs. What we're at is we're at a place where we now have these big backs, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. So if we're going to devalue those guys who have proven, look, David Johnson is a one-man show pretty much in Arizona. Larry Fitzgerald's on his last leg. They don't have a quarterback. He's a guy that's probably capable of being a 1,000 player. Todd Gurley led everyone in terms of yards from scrimmage, was a player of the year candidate, an MVP candidate for what he did with the Rams. And everyone would tell you in that building, he is the one that makes that offense go, not Jared Goff.
Right.
But Le'Veon Bell, I know that you can make the argument about Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, but just know this about Ben Roethlisberger. The older the quarterback gets, the more support he needs. So if you're going to remove that piece of the puzzle, you better make sure that Juju Smith-Schuster is a dude And you better make sure that Antonio Brown is doing all of the stuff off the field that's going to allow him to continue to play at a high level on the field.
And by the way, David Johnson, who you mentioned, third-round pick in the draft.
Yeah, I missed on him, you
know, too. LeSean McCoy, second-round pick in the draft.
I didn't see David Johnson becoming this. He was a big learning experience.
Here's what we're saying, though. So we're saying draft position is one thing. So, yeah, you can draft somebody in the second round, and that has been the sweet spot of running backs. But it's still an unknown. We still don't know what those guys are going to turn out to be. We still don't know. Look, everyone was talking about Christian McCaffrey and how great he was going to be. Christian McCaffrey was taken 8 overall. Look, he gave you production as a receiver, but I don't know if you can confidently say that he's a dominant runner. I love Alvin Kamara. I've been one of his biggest fans. But let's see if he can stand the test of time. There's one thing to be great for a year. Can you do it year after year after year after year after year? That's what the great ones do. That's what Le'Veon Bell has done. Let's see if others are able to match his production.
You surprised, before we let you go, you surprised the Texans didn't pick up that option on, or they haven't gotten a long-term deal done with Clowney?
You know what? Like, here's what I think, Lance. I think at the end of the day, I think the Texans are weighing their options between number 90 and number 99.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have to make a decision on who they're going to pay on that defensive line. Is it going to be Clowney or is it going to be J.J. Watt? J.J. Watt coming off the back and the broken leg. Does he come back and flash and play like the guy that was a 3-time defensive player of the year in a 4-year period? Or does Jadeveon Clowney finally put up a back-to-back season that allows you to kind of trust that he's going to be a guy that can be a franchise player? I think some of the wait and see is really due to which guy we're going to pay, because I think they can get out from J.J. Watt's deal pretty easily this year based on the amount of guaranteed money that's already been paid out.
They can, actually, this year, and I think next year they can. So, yeah, we definitely need to catch back up with you when the season catches up. Hey, I appreciate short notice coming on, Buck. Really do.
Hey, no problem.
Bucky,
thanks for having me on.
Brooks, you can follow Bucky. He's got a lot of great stuff. Really good NFL guy as well. I've learned a lot from him draft-wise. You can follow him at Bucky Brooks. He's with the NFL Network. And good stuff on Twitter. A lot of interaction he'll give you as well. You know how the Steelers are, though? They got the Steelers way, AJ.
They'll find somebody.
I got no problem with the Steelers having the Steelers way, and I got no problem with Bucky's argument. But the Steelers are going to be like, "Now we're confident in our ability to evaluate.
We'll find
talent.
Someone else.
We're going to do what we
Patriots
do.
Patriots do it the same way.
Same way.
With one exception.
Well, there's 12.
Yeah.
But you know, seven's been pretty good over there.
He's done some things.
It's amazing
for
what pretty good quarterbacks can do for your personnel department, isn't it?
Yeah. And I look back to even just last year, the running backs that were drafted early versus the ones that came, like Alvin Kamara and I don't know why the guy in Kansas City's escaping me.
Oh, Kareem Hunt?
Who was better, those guys or the guys taken ahead
History
of them?
History shows you can find running backs.
You can find them. You can find them. And they don't last long enough that it's worth making massive investments in them. And I know that's unpopular opinion, but, I mean, who's the best running back the Texans ever found?
Arian Foster, undrafted.
Undrafted. Undrafted. And how much money did that save them? How much better was the team they were able to build around him when they weren't paying a running back massive money?
Yeah.
It's hard to find a quarterback on the streets like that. Running backs, there's a long line of them that didn't get drafted in the first round, didn't get massive pay extensions, and they've turned out to be all right. All right. Well, how long are we going to break for? Are we going to come back for this in this... Are we going to have a short segment on the other side?
Long break.
Long break here. All right. Well, you guys, if you need to eat a sandwich or something, now's a good time.
Maybe 97.5 will be back.
We'll be back. It's the Blitz.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.